Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. For almost 15 years, the IBM Center for the Business of Government has sought to connect research to practice, sponsoring third-party research on a broad range of public management issues facing us today. Interagency coordination is an essential element of effective public leadership. Few agencies have the funding, expertise, or influence to achieve their goals single-handedly. Moreover, complex problems require interdisciplinary and hence interagency solutions. To succeed, public executives must leverage the financial, human, and organizational resources of multiple agencies. This requires coordination. Coordination, however, is easier said than done. What are coordinated results? How can government executives deliver consistent coordinated results? What are the challenges to coordination? And how can federal agencies enhance interagency coordination? Today, we'll explore these questions and so much more with Andre Strimling-Yatsampa, author of the IBM Center report, Coordinating for Results, Lessons from a Case Study of Interagency Coordination in Afghanistan. The case study brings into sharp relief the difficulties of coordinating in a high-visibility, high-priority, and high-stakes environment, and shows that coordination is possible, even in the most challenging contexts. Andre, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Andre, your report for the IBM Center, Coordinating for Results, Lessons from a Case Study of Interagency Coordination in Afghanistan, argues that interagency coordination is a fixture of effective public leadership. Why is coordination important for public leadership, and how does coordination differ from collaboration and integration?
I think coordination is increasingly important for any leadership in the private sector or the public sector. But in the public sector, with resources being increasingly constrained, agencies simply don't have all of the resources, human and otherwise, or all of the networks or all of the influence to achieve their goals or their missions single-handedly. So increasingly, they're finding they have to coordinate across agency lines to get their work done.
So government executives and managers face many challenges. You've alluded to some as they coordinate across agency boundaries. Would you identify the most significant challenges they face?
Sure. There are many challenges that make coordination difficult. Some are just the differences, the inherent differences between agencies. Agencies often have very different goals and priorities and time horizons. Even if there are overarching, high-level goals may be similar. And they also have often profound cultural differences, organizational cultural differences, meaning different lexicons, different norms that can make coordination particularly challenging, even at an interpersonal level. Beyond that, it's often agencies that compete for resources that find themselves having to coordinate. And that sort of underlying tension associated with competition can make coordination challenging. And just to add a few more, there are often very profound resource and power disparities between the very organizations that need to coordinate. And so the organizations that are less powerful in terms of immediate sources of power, like financial resources, often fear that their work will be co-opted by the more powerful agency. This is particularly true in the civil military arena. And beyond that, at a sort of systems level, agencies that find themselves having to coordinate even intensely often don't have an overarching coordination authority above everybody who can direct them to coordinate and sort of hold it all together. So they're coordinating without an overarching authority. I call it the no one in charge challenge, and that makes it particularly complex.
So, Andre, your report distinguishes between coordination processes and the results of those processes. Why is this important?
Well, I think it's very important. A lot of prior research has tended to conflate coordination processes and the results of the processes. And investing in a coordination process, it requires a lot of resources, a lot of time and effort and human resources, even financial resources. So it only merits that investment if it yields tangible results. And so it's very, very important, I think, in research to distinguish the process from the results.
Mm-hmm. And could you tell us, you identify two types of coordinated results. Could you tell us what they are? And also, what are two types of coordination failures?
Well, let me start with the coordination failures because they are very, very commonly found in interagency coordination. The first is negative interactions between activities in which one agency's often very well-intended efforts inadvertently undermine the efforts or the goals of another agency. So that's working at cross purposes, and it's quite common. And the second is wasteful duplication of efforts. So in many cases, duplication can be creative and it can be deliberate. What I'm talking about here is inadvertent, accidental duplication that wastes precious resources that are therefore not available for other efforts. So those are two types of very common coordination failures, negative interactions and duplication of effort. Now turning to coordinated results, I've defined coordinated results as coming in sort of two varieties. The first is complementarity, when one agency's activities directly complement another agency's activities. So I build a school and you furnish it with equipment, desks, books, even train the teachers to teach in the school. That would be a classic example of complementarity. Complementarity is thus the first type of coordinated results. The second type is even more powerful in terms of overarching effectiveness, and I've called it synergy. And it comes into play when one agency's efforts and another agency's efforts together lead to the realization of multiple high-level strategic goals. So, for example, looking ahead to the case study of U.S. civil-military coordination in Afghanistan, there were a number of cases in which road construction advanced multiple strategic goals. On the one hand, it facilitated transportation. On the other, along many segments of road, economic development naturally emerged. And in other cases, the roads provided enhanced security to certain communities. And when that happens, when multiple strategic goals are achieved through the combined efforts of multiple agencies contributing to road construction, that's an example of synergy. So again, there are two types of coordinated results that are slightly different: complementarity and synergy.
And you in your report acknowledge that individual personalities and interpersonal relationships play an important role in coordination, but you emphasize analysis of systems and processes necessary for coordinated results. Would you elaborate on why you chose to focus on systems and processes?
I deliberately asked the people I interviewed for this research about what contributed to the coordinated results they saw. They often initially said it was this person or this set of personal relationships. But I probed deeper and I sought to really understand what are the systems and processes at the organizational or interorganizational levels that allowed the right leaders to be in the right place at the right time, that allowed the constructive working relationships to emerge. And that gives us insights that then can be institutionalized and can yield much more sustained and consistent coordination moving forward.
So, Andrea, to identify the systems and processes necessary for coordinated results, your report analyzes U.S. reconstruction efforts in Afghanistan from 2001 to 2009, focusing on coordination among the U.S. Department of State, the U.S. Department of Defense, and the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID. The case study is divided into four phases. Would you identify those phases, and more importantly, what was the rationale for breaking the case study into four phases?
The four phases that I divided my case study in, well, the overarching case study looked at the period from fall of 2001 to spring of 2009. But during those years, there were a number of significant leadership changes on the ground. And what I noticed as I began the research was that each incoming team, civil-military leadership team on the ground, instituted different systems and different processes that had different effects in terms of coordination, in terms of civil-military and interagency coordination. So it seemed useful to differentiate these by phase, study them individually, and then be able to track the evolution and learning around coordination and systems and processes over time. And the four phases were first, fall of 2001 to summer 2003. The second phase was from fall of 2003 to summer 2005. The third phase was summer 2005 to spring 2007. And the fourth phase was spring 2007 to spring 2009.
And I'd like to explore the insights and lessons learned from each of these phases of your case study. Phase one focuses on early coordination failures, as you noted, between fall of 2001 to summer of 2003. You note that the early U.S. experience in Afghanistan's reconstruction was dominated by coordination failures. What are some of the reasons for these failures, and would you elaborate?
Well, I think very early in U.S. civil military efforts in Afghanistan, so looking at 2001 through 2003, one of the biggest gaps in terms of coordination systems and processes was around joint interagency planning. There was no rigorous or robust joint interagency planning process in place at that time. And so there wasn't a shared civil military plan to guide the efforts on the ground. In Washington, D.C., there were very contentious relationships among principals in the National Security Council, and the lack of an overarching plan really contributed to a climate of competition and conflict that was also driven by personalities. But on the ground, the effects were perhaps even more serious, because civilians and military, without any overarching sense of what they were there to accomplish together, they naturally defaulted to looking at their mission through an agency lens, through a narrower agency lens, and this led them to pursue activities that undermined one another, not deliberately, of course, but inadvertently, over and over again. And so what we saw were numerous times in which they didn't share information, at least not timely, engaged in activities that ended up having negative impact on other U.S. government goals and activities. And one example of that was in the counterterrorism arena. The military naturally was engaged in counterterrorist activities. Sometimes these activities had diplomatic fallout, but often they didn't alert the civilian leadership to the plans for these activities. So the civilian leadership often found out about these after the fact, and their ability to mitigate the diplomatic effects was therefore constrained. So that's just one among a number of examples of how the lack of a shared vision, shared articulated goals, and a shared plan undermined information sharing and hence coordination on the ground.
Well, Andrea, what I really liked about your report and your research is that within each of these phases that you outline and describe, you also offer lessons learned. What were some of the lessons learned from phase one?
I think there were two significant lessons learned. The first is that having an interagency planning process at multiple levels, from the strategic level to the tactical level, is absolutely essential for coordination. And the second is closely related, and that is that information flows, regular, deliberate, structured information sharing between agencies is necessary for coordination.
We will explore concrete examples of successful coordination from the U.S. reconstruction efforts in Afghanistan when the special edition of the Business of Government Hour, A Conversation with Authors, returns.